news leader, News Radio 1180 WHAM.
JM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 Watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 5th of November, Anno Domini 2006. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. We'll be bringing you news, views, stuff we can use. We have a special guest in the second hour. It's just going to be frighteningly exciting all the way around.
And I got another good shop story.
Oh, and then we'll have story time with Uncle Dave. Story time with Uncle Dave later on in the show. All right, we'll start with the holiday season, which may not be all that joyous for PC makers. Computers may be the last thing left on the shelves this holiday season. The delayed release of Microsoft's Vista operating system, laptop battery calls, and a bunch of other challenges have dented U.S. sales. Personal computers makers such as Dell and Hewlett-Packard usually count on the year-end consumer spending spree to boost revenue, but this year, a number of factors are combining to dampen the holiday cheer. Declining U.S. home prices, slowing economic growth, or tightening purse strings, just as PC makers hope consumers will spend more for all the stuff, advanced processors, memory, monitors, disk drives. So a worldwide recall of nearly 10 million batteries has led to shortages and shipment delays. Microsoft completely missed the holiday season for consumers. That's going to put a big dent in spending. A lot of retailers are responding by offering Microsoft-issued coupons.
Well, what they're trying to do, matter of fact, my distributor, maybe you've heard it too, Steve, is, a lot of them are focusing right now. As we all know, Vista is going to require a hell of a lot more hardware and oomph. So what they're trying to push right now in the TV ads is the new Intel dual core.
The Core 2 Duo.
Yeah.
That's a more confusing product name they couldn't have thought of.
Exactly.
And then what they're doing is they're starting to change the SKU numbers for both Microsoft Office, Home and Professional, that it'll have an upgrade capability.
Well, the 2007 versions are due out soon, too, and they're not going to make it for the holidays.
So right. You'll be able to get those, get a system right now, say with XP, and then if you want, since you already have a machine ready, then when Vista does come out, if you really want to, and I don't know why you'd want to, go up to Vista.
You're not going to get a chance. You're not going to get a choice one way or the other eventually.
We're seeing just the opposite. A lot of people, a lot of our customers are buying PCs now so they can get XP because they don't want Vista.
Yep.
They don't want to learn something new. They don't want to have to buy all new software.
Well, and as we've been saying all along, if you're going to use, here's the thing. There's two modes you can run Vista in. Classic mode, which means why did you bother to buy it?
Yeah.
And the new Aqua, it's not Aqua.
Arrow.
Arrow. Yeah, one or the other.
Yeah, we invented Aqua a year ago.
Yeah, right. It looks like Aqua. They just call it Arrow. The new Arrow mode, which is all the graphics and cute little doodads that you've been getting in the Mac and in Linux for years now. They have finally come to Windows, and that's going to cost a lot more money in terms of processor power, in terms of graphic power, in terms of RAM. What we're finding is that so many people who bought hot, great, high-end desktops and laptops last year got to throw them away. They are simply not going to run Vista except in classic mode. So you're spending $200 to get nothing.
And not only once you get the operating system, say you go out, at the beginning of next year, get a whole new system, and it's got the 2 gig of memory and 256 meg of memory, video memory.
512 recommended.
Yeah.
But you get all this, now you got to turn around in every other software package that's on your machine.
Including Microsoft's own.
Yep.
Say Office has to now be upgraded. And by the way, some of them won't work. One of them in the beta version I found, and it works now on XP, but won't even work once the final release of Vista comes out, is one that I like, is WinFax Pro. Instead of having a fax machine going, I found out, nope, it doesn't support it, won't support it. Oh, use Microsoft's faxing. Yeah, right.
Which is garbage.
Which is garbage.
Yeah.
Well, we've got this application at work that is our time management software. It only works with IE6. It doesn't work fully with any other browser, including IE7, which just got pushed down to everybody's machine last week.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. So it's going to be an interesting little problem.
Not to mine.
Yeah, right, exactly. I don't care. My main box is a Linux box. My secondary box is a Mac, and only my tertiary box is Windows nowadays. And so I don't care. But it seems that Microsoft is certainly forging ahead. They're creating a whole new era for the Microsoft only people. There's stuff in Vista that Microsoft only users have never seen before.
Right.
So it's very nice in that aspect, but the real problem is you pretty much can't do any of that new stuff.
And we've already seen it in the Mac world and the Linux world for years.
Right.
All
right,
Vista is XP and steroids.
Well, it's
there
it's
are some nice stuff.
Well,
there are some nice
it,
things under the hood that are very important for security and safety. But people in general don't care about that stuff.
Right. They just want to run their computer.
They just want to run their computers.
And looking at it from the other side of the coin, Microsoft hasn't had a new product in so many years. Is you know their revenues are down.
Their revenues
they
are
have
way
to
down.
Have a new.
If it wasn't for the
out.
Xbox,
yeah,
right now.
But even with the so-called added security, well, if I don't use
Outlook
Express. I've been fine without those two.
Right.
And I haven't worried about security. I've got a good firewall, antivirus, and spyware program.
Well, and that's the thing. Microsoft is essentially saying, you really need these things, and we've included them in Vista, so you should get Vista. But I've already got all those things.
Yeah, and they
work
a lot
better. Is there anybody
out
there who doesn't? Well, yes, there are. We get those calls all the time. But in general, there are a whole lot of people who have all of those things, and really, you know, they're not getting a value add out of Vista.
No. No, not when it's, you look at your bottom line, once you're all said and done, and it's going to cost you a pretty penny.
Well, we'll keep following this. We'll see what the deal is. Let's go to the phones, shall we? Okay. Let's not go to the phones. It's almost time for... Do you tell me we talked through the entire first segment? I apologize to all you people waiting on the phone. We'll have to get to you next time. I had no idea we were doing that. I was playing with Vista this week. I have a very high-end laptop that belongs to work. I don't want anybody to think that I could afford this, on which I'm testing Vista.
Well, and, we did the same thing in our place.
Right.
And it lasted one day.
Right.
I couldn't stand it. I mean, it was like there was no big benefits to keep it on there.
Right.
I mean, too many programs weren't working with it.
Well, I will say that for all of us, Vista is a godsend. We're going to be so busy making so much money answering questions,
but
selling upgrades.
Yeah, but here's what's going to pork off a lot of people. When they went from 98 up to XP, all their old programs still worked.
Yeah, now they don't.
Now they won't.
We're not finding much that does work. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. All of you at 14 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
All right, we're here. We're having show and tell here. We're just excited.
Yeah, I wish you folks could see this. I mean, we talk about the old days, and we've got Steve happened to bring in an old Osborne computer.
The original
back then,
laptop.
Yeah, that was a laptop, and it looks like a Singer sewing machine case. Basically,
I don't think I've seen you guys work so hard during a show before until somebody brings in a toy. I'm like, hello, you're on the air.
This is so cool. Welcome back to Soundbites. We're having fun. Dave, Steve brought an Osborne 1 in. I used to sell these. In fact, the computer center, which is where I sold these things, the sticker is still on the back of that thing. It's clear that I sold this.
Isn't it funny that
the camera? So
I'm like,
it's
what
that
is
ugly
that
beige
thing?
Box on the table?
It's a lunchbox. It's like the Hulk's lunchbox. It's just a gigantic thing, and it's wonderful.
Where's the monitor?
Yeah, built in.
Oh, this, yeah, it's a little three-inch
monitor.
This was the first portable computer. Had a handle. You could pick it up and carry it around.
Yeah,
self-contained.
Didn't That's a need big keyboard. Look at that keyboard.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, that's mostly
it's just for the case.
The cover of the case.
Like you say, it looks like a portable sewing machine.
This was 1995 this thing cost. It had a full 64K of RAM. It had 200K floppy drives.
Five and a quarter. Which was radical at the time because the mini computers at the time were using 8-inch.
Right. It had a built-in screen, serial port, parallel port, S100 bus. The best thing about it, it came with CPM, which was the operating system of the day. It came with WordStar, which is a word processor. It came with a word processor, a spreadsheet, a database, a bunch of games, all kinds of stuff. $2,500 worth of software for $19.95, and they threw in a computer to run it on.
And I have a shrink-wrapped copy of DBase 2, copyright 1981.
Yep. Word processor, spreadsheet, database, everything. Everything you could possibly want.
You know, all your commands that are pretty much standard, the Control-X, the Control-C for copy, and the Control-V for paste, that all originally standardized in WordStar.
Yep.
Those three commands were more or less standard commands, and they stuck.
My fingers still know all the WordStar
commands.
I remember
using an old Apple IIe.
Sure, those were nice.
Yeah, the Apple II with VisiCalc was the business spreadsheet, and then an Osborne with WordStar was the word processor. You can take it home at night.
These were so cool. And yeah, you could lug this around. It was great. It was
Is it heavy? Because I saw you roll it in on a cart. That tells me it's going to be pretty heavy.
At the next break, come on in and pick it up. It's like it weighs 115 pounds.
Because I was waiting
pounds.
For you to show up at the elevator door, and you never did, so I had to walk it through the building.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't know I was your servant.
And then the elevators in this building are broken, so we had to haul it up the stairs.
Next time, we'll just get a crane outside the window.
Yeah, right. All right, we're going to go to the phones. These people have been very patient. Gene from Cast Isle, New York. Welcome, Gene. What's your question?
Yeah, I have to renew my Norton antivirus pretty soon. And I haven't heard you say anything about the new version of the 2007 like you did the 2006.
Well, I have an interesting news story here. According to the Thompson Cybersecurity Labs, which is pretty interesting, this is pretty interesting. Norton's antivirus 2007 is best at detecting and removing stealth rootkits. Rootkits are the things that can take over your whole machine and make it owned by somebody else.
Uh-huh.
It's the best in both detection and removal. Symantec's Norton came out on top. Now, on top... means it actually hit like 8 out of the 20. So they all pretty much stink when it comes to doing that. But the best of all of them so far is Norton 2007.
And the big problem I have, though, and Steve will probably tell you the same thing, is when you put these on, they do such a good job at trying to find this stuff, they slow the machine down to a crawl.
Yeah, it's almost, well, it's hard running them because they are so slow, they're trying to be so thorough, and Norton's suite products try to add so much more to Windows that it just bogs everything down. So basically, the three choices we've talked about is you can renew your existing copy of Norton, you can buy the newest version of Norton, or you can use AVG for free.
Uh-huh.
Right, and if you do take Norton, just buy the antivirus. Don't load the rest of the suite.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Because I haven't seen too many of the 2007
yet. I don't know if 2007 has been shipping enough yet for the problems to show up.
I've done 2006, and it's amazing how once we take that off, the machines just run so much better, so much faster.
Yep. Well, 2005 had a lot of bugs that would crash everything.
Well, McAfee's having the same problem with us at work. You load it on, and the whole system bogs right down.
Yep.
Our next caller is...
The choice to be safe or slow.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, or use a different product.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? And be both safe and fast. Our next caller is Dennis from Victor, New York. Welcome, Dennis. What's your question?
Hi, fellas. I'm running Windows 98, a pretty old system.
Wow.
I'm running into a little problem with Microsoft Word.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the problem in two instances. One, when I have several slave forms on my desktop that we use to run our business.
Yeah,
and I do a save as to change the inside address and the date and the salutation, and what happens is I get the blue bar that identifies the document and the software that you're in use Microsoft Word. It starts flashing, and so does a little blue bar that's down at the bottom of the screen.
Yep.
And I did see it again when I was I got an email with an attachment in Word or an attachment that I needed to resize the.
You need to check to see if you turned off your audio and turned on flashing bars instead. One of the things that you can do, whether or not you mute your audio. One of the things you can do, and this is really designed for hearing impaired folks, is you can set whenever, instead of beeping, instead of the screen beeping when it needs your attention,
right?
You can set elements of the screen to flash.
Oh.
So it may well be that your screen is flashing to get your attention to do something. For example, I need to save this file, or something just changed, or I just loaded a new document and you haven't paid attention to me yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I would do is check to see that.
Where do you go for that?
I believe if you go into the control panel and the second tab...
If you look in your system tray where the little speaker icon is, if there's a red no symbol through it, then your system volume is muted.
But there was a, because he's talking Windows 98, in the second tab in the control panel under system, there was a, add remove programs. The second tab, there's all those Windows applications, you know, like the extra screen savers and all that. Up at the top, there was stuff for visually impaired or, how did they word it? There's an assistance for magnifying text and all this other type of stuff. And it's like in that area that you might want to look at. It'll turn on the flashing. And again, it was for the blind or visually impaired.
Well,
hard of hearing.
Secondly, does the box, the save as box, come up and let you save your document eventually? Or does it just sit there and flashing at you?
There, it's installed. The only way I can get rid of it is to do a control alt delete and task.
Well, that's a different problem now.
Yeah, that's a whole different issue.
I did a Microsoft Office repair, mm-hmm. and that failed to remove the problem.
Look through your system and look for the normal.dot. I don't remember what folder it's in.
Just do a search and find normal.dot. Normal.dot.
Right, that's Word's default template document where it can store macros for making things happen on the computer. And sometimes that
settings
gets
and toolbars.
Settings and toolbars. What toolbars you have turned on, what you have turned off. Sometimes that can get screwed up and not display things properly.
Is it only one blue bar that flashes or several?
One. Only the document that I'm trying to take action on.
Yeah. Try those things. Let us know. I'm sorry. This is going to take longer to solve than if it's not that, it's going to take a little longer to solve. So try those things and let us know, and we'll move on from there and see what else we can figure out. I apologize for not having an instant answer. We are going to take another quick break. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Glenn Lamberts is in to do the news and the weather and the sports and all the important stuff that you stay tuned for every day. Mighty, mighty Glenn Lamberts will be in. And in the meantime, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob. I'm a professional, Linton. Rob is in there making sure I stay on the straight and narrow, keeping me on track, giving me all the traditional radio hand signs so that I get everything. So that I get everything
done
correctly.
I didn't think they were.
I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites on 1180 WHAM. If you just go.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. Is there something about that liner that just didn't sound right?
A whole lot.
Sorry.
I'm just not paying attention. It's 32 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites. I have a great story here. This
but
almost...
Before we get to that, the previous caller with the word save as problem. It's apparently a fairly common problem caused by the Word Quick Launch Windows Toolbar and Norton Antivirus. The flashing icon, or flashing window, means that there's another window that needs your attention first, and the one trying to flash is the one that wants your attention, not the one that's in front. Unfortunately, there's no way to get to the window and back, and their solution is to disable the Quick Launch Toolbar in Windows and to turn off the Office plugin for Norton.
Oh, there you go.
With Word, if you had multiple documents up, it would
It's not a document. It's a dialog box. There's multiple dialog boxes open, and you can only see the top one. But the one
minimize the rest?
Not always.
Dialog box takes over. Even if it's underneath. You can't get to the other thing until
It's a modal dialog box.
What if you do an Alt-Tab? Remember how Alt-Tab with Windows 98?
That might or might not work, depending on whether or not it hooks into the Alt-Tab system. Right?
Fun and games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This particular news item almost became the poll of the week. It was a very close toss-up. Wi-Fi trumps Starbucks. The Wi-Fi Alliance announced October 31st that Americans like their wireless internet more than they like Starbucks. They did a research. They found that 89% of Americans would rather do without Starbucks than give up their wireless. Respondents weren't asked if they were willing to give up coffee entirely, just Starbucks. 92% of those 18 to 29 said they were unwilling to give up Wi-Fi. 77% of the respondents said they had implemented the security features in their Wi-Fi network. Midwesterners especially were more willing to see their favorite sports team lose a critical game than to give up their wireless. Apparently, people are all about the wireless nowadays.
Mm-hmm. You can get coffee anywhere.
You can get coffee
including
anywhere.
Including the wonderful Flower City Coffee Shop.
Flower City Coffee Company at the public market every Saturday.
Is that online yet?
It's getting there. It's getting a lot closer.
My wife this morning said, can you get me some coffee? Did you call Elaine and tell her what you wanted?
I'll deliver it here, but you got to let me know ahead of time.
He brings it every week for me.
It's good coffee.
Yes, it is.
But at any rate, 77% of people would rather, 89% of people would rather do without Starbucks than give up their wireless.
I'd rather do without Starbucks.
I do without Starbucks all the time, but that's a whole different story. Yeah. It's pretty interesting. I'd love to see municipal Wi-Fi here in Rochester where you could just get Wi-Fi anywhere, only I don't see it happening. So
they're getting it in Canandaigua most of Ontario County.
Sure, every place but Rochester.
Yeah.
All right, our next caller is Bob from Greece, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
My question has to do with a phenomenon I'm experiencing during the security tangle.
Mm-hmm.
At the conclusion, when I've gone rebooted into safe mode,
mm-hmm.
and I attempt to run my McAfee virus scan, it will not come up.
You can't, right. You can't run McAfee or Norton in safe mode
because
it doesn't load the drivers necessarily.
Right.
Part of safe mode is it quits loading all your drivers to make Windows boot.
Yeah, you're running safe mode for SpyBot and Adaware when they won't run correctly in normal mode.
Because some of the spyware prevents the anti-spyware programs from running.
And the other items being loaded into your toolbar can also slow down your machine, and cause it to hang. So that's why we tell folks to go into safe mode if, SpyBot and Adaware hang in normal mode.
Okay, they're doing fine in either mode. But then when I come out of safe mode, is that when I should run the antivirus program?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I don't remember if AVG works in safe mode.
I had a tech from...
AVG will run in safe mode.
I had a tech from McAfee. I had a chat going with him, and he tried to tell me that both Adaware and SpyBot you shouldn't even have them on your disk, hard drive, because they're incompatible with McAfee's antivirus.
No, they're not.
Well, technically, they're not incompatible. McAfee wants you to buy their anti-spyware program.
Yes.
So they are in conflict with McAfee's programs.
Right.
But Adaware, for instance, is so convenient. At night when I'm ready to close down for the night, I'll run it just to see what I picked up,
exactly.
And it always picks up a couple of things.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so nice to have that there. And going through the whole... antivirus thing that takes an hour to do the same thing would be ridiculous.
Yep, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, hang on to what you've got. I should amend the software again because they keep changing the way the software runs.
Yeah, because
it's time for me to now amend the...
It's almost to the point where now Stinger isn't really needed. We're getting to the point where Stinger...
Yeah, but it doesn't take long to run. Might as well just...
Yeah, but what I'm saying, though, is there's so many new updates with the current antivirus software. Stinger hasn't been updated since last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true.
And
all right, I'll have to sit down and redo the tango. Not today, but eventually, I'm going to have to go do that. Our next caller is Mike from Elma or Elba.
E L M A.
Elma, New York.
Yes, I called you guys probably a couple months ago, and I was concerned about getting on the internet and safety and so on and so forth, and. And again, every time I listen to you guys, I have the same fear. And I ran a question by you about separate hard drives and actually disabling the power supply and stuff.
Right.
And then somebody suggested a separate computer, and there was a whisper in the background at the end of the conversation that said Apple.
Sure.
So I got an iMac.
Nice.
I've only had it about a week, and I've only been on the internet for about 5 days. In fact, it's a Rochester outfit. But I was thinking about picking up the streaming of audio from some of the radio stations.
Yep-er.
Mm-hmm. And I started to do that from one radio station in New York City, and something came up on the screen, and it wanted to download a Microsoft product, and I stopped.
Right.
There are three types of media. Four. Didn't expect the Spanish Inquisition. media types on the internet.
Okay.
For video and streaming, you'll run into QuickTime, which is built into the Mac.
Okay.
Reel, which you have to download.
Okay.
Windows Media, which you have to download.
Okay.
And Flash, which you have to download.
Okay.
Microsoft has conveniently discontinued Windows Media Player for Mac because another company wrote a better one.
Oh, okay.
So there's a company called Flip for Mac, FLIP number 4 MAC, and that will give you a really good Windows Media Player for the Macintosh to play those Windows Media files.
So download those. You won't need to see that again. When you get an ad like that, that's a generic ad coming from the other company. They don't know what operating system you're running. They just are hoping you'll click on something and download what they're selling. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
I'm Steve
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you're listening to Soundbite. It's 44 minutes after the hour. And here's the news. Windows developers are warned about a critical flaw. Online attackers have exploited a serious vulnerability in an ActiveX component of Visual Studio 2005, which is a popular development platform for Windows applications. Microsoft disclosed the issue on Wednesday, and code to exploit the issue has existed since August. Microsoft suggests a number of workarounds. These include keeping your antivirus software up to date, exercising caution when opening email, enabling a firewall, updating your software, and making contact with the FBI if you think you've been hit. Now, two things about this. First, and then you can also make contact with Microsoft product support. Two things about this. They're recommending things we've been saying for the last, 15 years?
Yeah.
And secondly, please note that the last thing they recommend is making contact with Microsoft product support. Yes, if you get a virus, Microsoft recommends you call the FBI before you call them. Very nice. Very nice. You can't argue with that kind of...
you know where they stand in the food chain.
Yeah, we know where our expertise lies and apparently not in fixing problems with our own operating system. Call the FBI. We don't care. Our next caller is Paul from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Paul's wife.
Hi, Paul's wife.
I
Do you have your own name?
Bev.
Hi, Bev.
I did the security tango, downloaded everything, ran everything. Now, I'm connected to the internet, but I can't access my email and I can't access Internet Explorer.
What happens when you try?
Let's see. If I put on my email, it's Outlook Express. It says the host mail net can't be found.
So that's nothing to do with your email program. That's your internet connection.
Right. Yeah.
Have you reset? No. Have you reset? Shut everything down and restarted both your. If this is the only computer, the cable modem or the DSL modem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You've shut them right off and turned them back on.
Yes, I have.
And hang on a minute. You said netac.net? Is NetAccess your internet provider?
Yeah, netac.net.
Their mail certainly is up. No, they're there. They're let's not start another something closed rumor. Yeah. We went through that with Dave last year. Are you connected through either Roadrunner or DSL, or do you use a phone line?
Use a phone line.
Okay. And now when you try to connect to them, when did this start?
Right after I ran the security tango, right after I started running all the things that I had downloaded.
Right. And you can't get, when you connect, you get the noise and it says it's connected.
That's right. But when I hit on Microsoft Internet, it says cannot find server. This page cannot be displayed. As many times as I've tried to refresh it,
so your
and
computer,
tried to redo it, it doesn't work.
Right.
Your computer's working fine. It's the Internet connection that's not working.
Right.
That's right. And I don't understand why I can't, you know, and it was okay before I downloaded all this stuff, and now I can't.
It probably, you probably had some spyware that was hacked into your Internet connection and making your computer dial itself to in order to spread. So the anti-spy-
and killing the virus killed the Internet connection.
Right. You may have to reinstall the dial-up networking and reconfigure dial-up networking.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we see this part happen a lot.
Yeah.
When people get a virus, one of the things that it tries to do is take over your network connection.
Especially dial-up downloader.
Particularly dial-up. And so, and often you'd find they dial up at 3 o'clock in the morning and all this stuff. That used to be more noticeable when people paid by the minute for a network connection. But now that you pay, you know, X dollars a month and can dial in all you like, it doesn't happen. You don't notice it as much. But so what's clearly happened here is you got caught by that kind of virus. When it got cleaned off, it killed your internet connection. So there are two ways you can do. You can either do it yourself, or you can get one of these guys or somebody to do it for you. But the point is,
even try calling that access. I'm trying to get to their webpage, and it's coming up empty. When try it on your machine.
All right, I will. But that's what you need to do. We've got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 49 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Call Wham! Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this, at 54 minutes after the hour, is Soundbites. Well, you should know that there's another month of bugs going on. Back in July, we had the month of browser bugs. Every day, a researcher, a security researcher, published a new browser bug hitting just about all the browsers out there. Now we're starting the month of kernel bugs. Same idea. There'll be a kernel flaw publicized every day in November. They kicked it off with the Apple wireless driver, and they seem to have really kind of gotten down to the nitty-gritty, and it is, in fact, a kernel flaw in the Apple kernel that causes this. With all the hype and buzz about the now infamous Apple wireless device driver bug, hopefully this will bring some light or proof about the existence of flaws like that in the AirPort device driver. So that's out there. Every month you can look that up pretty easily. Month of kernel bugs, K-E-R-N-E-L, month of kernel bugs. Take a look at that and see what the what you think. They're releasing a new one every day. So far they've hit Linux and BSD and the Mac. So we'll see what they continue with as time goes on. Our next caller is Steve from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Fabulous show.
Thank you.
I'm currently, I've got a PC that currently connects to the internet via a Linksys wireless router.
Right.
And I just recently, I'm the proud owner of a brand new Mac Xeon tower. And my understanding is it doesn't come with an internet card. And my question is whether I should install an AirPort.
There's no such thing as an internet card.
Oh, okay.
And the Xeon Tower comes with 2 gigabit Ethernet ports, and you plug the Ethernet wire from your Linksys router into the Mac Pro.
Oh, okay.
It has 2 Ethernet cards built in, but I guess technically it doesn't have an Internet card because there's no such thing as an Internet card.
Well, it's an Ethernet card that, that lets you connect to the Internet.
Right. It doesn't have
whatever you call it. It doesn't.
Internet
it doesn't matter.
Connection.
Still, it does the same thing.
Yeah, it doesn't have an Ethernet card. It has 2 built-in gigabit Ethernet ports.
Right. Okay, it's got two built-in cards. I mean, that's it doesn't matter what you call them. We don't need to get semantic about it. The reality is you've got two connectors on the back that will let you plug in wired. If you want wireless, then you do have to get a wireless card. Now, there
Apple
are
currently does not offer.
But they have PCI connectors in the box, don't they?
There is a dedicated airport card slot for the Xeon workstation, but they haven't released the wireless upgrade card yet. It doesn't have PCI slots. It has PCI Express slots.
Well, it's got USB, though, right?
Yeah.
Won't it use a Linksys USB wireless?
Not without Mac drivers, which they don't make.
Oh,
okay. So it doesn't, The airport cards are coming. They just haven't released the kits yet.
So it looks like your best bet right now, Steve, is to make sure that you connect it with a wire.
With the wire.
Hardwired, yeah.
Basically, they decided it's a high-end pro workstation. You're going to want gigabit Ethernet. You're not going to want wireless.
Right. How about Bluetooth, installing Bluetooth on there?
There is a Bluetooth kit available that just came out last week, and that's we expect the airport kit to come out shortly. It's about $50. It's about $50 for the Bluetooth kit, and we're expecting about $50 to $70 for the
Bluetooth
airport kit.
Bluetooth is not terrible. What are you going to use the Bluetooth for?
Well, I was going to use it for like my little PDA.
USB is a lot faster than Bluetooth.
Though. Yeah.
But if you're already used to using USB. Bluetooth, then you can do that. That's
USB.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, USB is a lot faster than Bluetooth. So it's and most of the PDAs will connect with a USB connector as well. But yeah, the USB kit was just released, I think Thursday, and the airport kit the airport kit for Europe is out. So we're expecting the airport kit for the U.S. To come out very shortly.
Hasn't cleared customs?
Apparently.
Yeah, right.
Well, different frequencies in Europe, so the FCC probably hasn't approved the kit yet.
Right, but for now, your best bet is to plug in with a wire. Hopefully you can reach from where your system is and do it that way. That's probably your best bet. It's interesting. More and more people want to go wireless. It's happening. I'm seeing it everywhere. People are all, even when they buy desktops, they're asking about wireless cards because it's so much easier to connect your systems wirelessly. You can connect more of them. You buy one wireless kit, you can connect, a dozen computers. You don't have to worry about anything except interference and sight lines.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's a much better deal. We're seeing a lot more of that. You can buy wireless cards for desktops, but as you say, they're if you've
well,
only
especially
got
PCI folks X. in hotels. I mean, wireless
with
is a lot cheaper to run with a laptop than trying to wire every room in an old hotel with a wire.
But even in your home, same thing. If you want to, move computers around, put them in different places, a whole lot easier to do it wirelessly, and so many people are going that way now. But make sure if you do anything like that you absolutely get your security nailed down. We're going to take a quick break. Back on the other end of the news, we got Glenn Lambert's coming in.
Do we have story time with Dave coming up?
We do have story time with Dave coming up, and I can't
and
wait for that.
And our special guest.
And our special guest. We'll have story time with Uncle Dave. So get your pajamas ready, kiddies, and we'll be back with more sound bites on 1180 WHAM.
The 1,000-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 5 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. We have a very special guest coming on in just a couple of minutes. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about what goes on at our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week, we do a poll. Last week's poll was about the $500 laptop at Walmart. 336 of you voted, making number 103 on the all-time hit list. Thank you very much. And the choices were, the question was, I'd buy a $500 laptop from Walmart. And the choices were, in a heartbeat, maybe after I see it, dream on, chuckles, does it run Linux, is it a Mac? And the number one choice, of course, was maybe after I see it, followed by dream on, chuckles, followed by Linux to the Mac. And 19 of you said, in a heartbeat. This week's poll is based on a news item. I told you an earlier news item that almost made it. But, you know, Tuesday is the election, and there's nothing you can do that's more important than exercising your franchise as a citizen in the United States. And naturally, we're into e-voting this year, electronic voting. Experts say the system is not improved from the 2004 election, leaving a significant concern about the potential for error. Electronic voting machines remain vulnerable to attacks and to glitches that incorrectly count votes. A number of tests have been done in recent months, and there are reports of lots of technical problems. One of the interesting things is that Ed Felton, who's a security guy, showed how using a hotel minibar type key card could actually let you change the results. I won't talk about how you do that here, but apparently they tried the access key cards from hotel minibars, from office furniture shops. They bought a key on eBay, and they tried a 15-year-old access key card from a Vax computer. That worked, too. So it's a pretty interesting series of events going on right now. And so our question is, our poll is, do you trust electronic voting machines? And it's real simple. The choices are yes, no, and who cares? So far, we've had 77 votes. No is in the lead with 66%, followed by 23% who say yes, and 10% who couldn't care less.
One of the ironies this week is that Jon Stewart on The Daily Show had a big article on electronic voting machines and the problems with them. And his security consultant and security expert he brought on to interview about the electronic voting booths was John Hodgman, who plays PC on the Apple commercials.
Right.
And saying how great it was that these electronic voting booths, but they don't work sometimes. And they have these problems and they're easy to break into.
Right. When you're done voting, you'll see a little yellow box under that where you can give your opinion. Click on that link. It takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Oh, drat these computers. They're so naughty and so complex.
Yes, they
are.
I could pinch them. They are so naughty and complex.
Ooh, he makes me so angry.
I will get my Iridium Q38,
Space modulator.
Space modulator.
Don't quit your day job.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
You know the guy that does the voices, don't you?
Yeah, he doesn't. Well, yes, I do. Yeah, I do. Joe Alasky does all those voices now. At any rate, you can go to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Thank you. And enter in your opinion on that. And then take a look around. I do a newsletter three times a week, and it's only 15
You know what?
Bucks a year.
Speaking of that sound effect, I got to tell you. Bob Barker is retiring from The Price is
he
Right.
He is. He's retiring.
Is he?
That guy, I thought, was going to die on that show.
Yeah.
He was going to spin the wheel one day, and that was going to be it.
He'll still do movies, but no nude scenes.
Movies?
Yeah. He's still up for movies, but he won't do nude scenes.
His scene in, what was it, Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore is the last movie I've seen.
Fighting with Adam Sandler. Yeah. They said he gets more remarks about that scene than any of the 50 years of television.
His little cameo.
How can he lower himself to working with Adam Sandler?
The Price is Right has been on the air for how long? I mean,
for 140
years. Yeah. He wasn't the original host, though.
Well, he wasn't the original host.
He came in as the new Price is Right.
Right. Well, but he also was well known for his
Truth or Consequences.
His Barker's Beauties there for a while, wasn't
exactly.
he?
Exactly.
He kept suing him for sexual harassment.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, when you're old, you don't remember.
Yeah. But he's right, he's an institution. I grew up with Bob
Barker.
He is.
Yeah, he is. All right, we have a very special guest, and we've kept him waiting on the line long enough. His name is Charlie Conley, and he's from, is it pronounced? Now, I should have probably asked this before we got on the air. Charlie, are you there?
Yeah, I am here.
Is it produced? How do you pronounce the company name?
DeLorme.
DeLorme.
Just DeLorme.
Inform.
Yeah.
Okay, DeLorme, he's from DeLorme, and they make the great Street Atlas USA 2007 Plus. And a whole bunch of new features have been added this year, right?
Well, it's a lot of new detail.
Right.
And the features that we've added are iPod support now. So everybody's got an iPod. So if your kids are going somewhere and they're not quite sure how to get where they're going, you get the maps. You can get a static map onto an iPod. You can't do routing or a lot of the functional stuff that you can do on your laptop or even on your PDA, but you can get a map onto an iPod, and it can be very handy sometimes.
Does this mean that Street Atlas finally works on a Mac?
You know, I get this question a lot. My son has a Mac, and I wish I could give you the answer you're looking for, but no.
See, he's the Mac guy. That's why. Does it work on a Palm Pilot?
Yes. Yep. We support both Palm and Pocket PC / Windows Mobile.
Man, I got to tell you what. I got to get a copy of this because I get lost in my own driveway. This is true. I have no sense of direction. When we go somewhere, we're leaving. My wife will look at me. Do we turn left or right here? I don't know. Well, we turned right coming in. What do we do going out? Wait, oh, that must be left. I'm bad at directions. Well,
One of their GPS devices.
Ooh, that's got to be the best.
And it was really cool going down to... last year, I went down to Daytona for Biketoberfest, and I mapped out the whole trip using 2006 version. It took us right down to the hotel, was telling us different turns as turns were coming up. The voice would sit there, turn, and so many feet. It was really cool.
Yeah, it is very, for anybody who is directionally challenged.
That's me.
I have a daughter like that. And she had an interview that she had to go to yesterday, and I hooked up the EarthMate to her laptop and got her right to it. So, she had been very concerned about being late and not being able to find the place, and that would not augur well for her interview. But it's very easy to use. Just plug it in, set up your route, plug it in to the USB port, and off you go.
And that's only $99.95.
Isn't that unbelievable? For under $100, you get all that capability.
That's pretty neat, and it shows you the map, tells you where to turn, where you're going. This is one of those deals where when I make the wrong turn, notice I didn't say if I make the wrong turn, it'll help me find my way back.
Yeah, if you often you'll hit situations like there's a detour.
Right.
It automatically will recalculate your route based on your current position. So if the detour takes you 3 or 4 miles out of your way, it'll get you back on course.
This is great. And this is the EarthMate GPS, which plugs into your laptop.
Plugs into the USB and powers off the USB in your laptop. So you don't need any batteries for the EarthMate.
This is nice. And I see that on your website at delorme.com, DELORME.
Well, what I like about it, too, though, is they're constantly updating the maps, too, around our region with, like Greece and some of these other areas that they're constantly adding more streets. And for me, and I know for Steve, that if we're out on the road quite a bit trying to find some of these streets because they're new and they haven't popped up and gotten to the other maps, DeLorme is always updating theirs that you can get the updates and find them.
And you can also... you can send us update information. So if there's something new that a new street or road or some other feature, you can send us the information. You can go right to our website and do that. And now you folks are in Rochester, so you're very close to Canada. And one of the things we've added with the 2007 version is street level detail for Canada. Now we used to have the primary road so that you could get around, but now you can get right down to the address level. So we've had an awful lot of Canadians over the years requesting that, and it can be a little bit tough because a lot of the Canadian data is copyrighted by their government. But we jumped through some hurdles, and we've got the data now, and we've gotten a lot of good feedback from it from our neighbors north of the border.
Well, you've also got the other feature, though, of like with the Google Earth, where you can get right down and actually see the actual buildings and everything else.
Yes, we have the aerial data packets available, and you access that data through the program's Netlink tab. It's very easy to do, and you get $40 worth of aerial data packets free as a registered user, and you can download them on an as-needed basis. And that works out to about 65 square miles. And the neat thing about our aerial data packets is you can actually do things with them. Now, I'm a big fan of Google Maps and Google Earth, and there's a lot of, you can kill a lot of time with them, but you really can't do anything functional with them. And with our aerial data packets, you can put map notes onto the images, and so if you can label locations. and you can GPS track on them. So if you're going along and you know that a big building up here is your destination, then as you're getting close to it, you can actually see it. It adds an extra sort of dimension to having the aerial data in front of you. It's functional.
That's nice. Pretty good. I was looking for a customer this week, and their street address was 13. And I found 11 and 15, and there was no sign of them. So I call them up on the phone. And oh, yeah, the city renumbered us to 17.
Nice.
And their building had been freshly painted, so they had no sign on the side yet.
Right. And it's nice if you can actually put notes into the software. I mean, when I go, like I said, I have no sense of direction. So, you know, everybody else, they get somewhere once, they can find it again. My wife knows where every single bathroom and cash register is in Monroe County. I have no idea. I have no sense of direction.
I'm like,
so if I go to a place
restaurants.
A second time, right? If I go to a place a second time, I still get lost. So if I can make notations in this thing and say on this corner is a gas station, or you know, on this corner is some building that I can recognize, I'll know where to make my turn. And you can't do that on things like Google Earth.
Right, and this you can map it all out. And as you're drawing it, you can have it color it. So then when you print it out and put it on to, say, like a color printer.
All right.
You know, I got to hit some unique streets. It's off a main drag. I know how to get to this one section. But once I get off the main drag, I'll print that area off and color it. And then quick print it on my color printer. And it's easy for me to find.
All right. And you really have the whole thing. You've got Street Atlas by itself, which is just for your computer. You've got the GPS bundle, which includes the Street Atlas. You've got the Bluetooth wireless bundle, so you don't even have to connect your GPS into the computer. You've pretty well covered the spectrum here, it looks like.
Yeah, we really have, and we're going to be coming out early in 2007 with a new Bluetooth device. It's going to be called the BT20, and what it will allow you to do is it will have a USB cable, so you can hook it up to your laptop. If you have a laptop, for example, that's not Bluetooth enabled, you'll have the ability to hook up your GPS to that. But it does have the Bluetooth capability, so you'll be able to use it with your PDA as well.
So I can take my Bluetooth PDA and my Bluetooth GPS into my car, and my PDA will tell me where to turn and when to turn and where I'm going, and it's not wired up to anything, so I don't have to get tangled up and stuff.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, man, when you need somebody to review that, think of me.
you guys are always in the first wave of recipients.
Thanks. One more time, the web address is Delorme, DELORME.com. We'll post that on our website. Charlie Conley, thanks so very
thanks,
much for
Charlie.
Coming and talking
Thank
us
you.
About this. We really appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. It's 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
M's Bob Long.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Give us a call, 222-1180. If you're outside the 585 area code, it's 800-295-1180. And Verizon Wireless customers can call us on star 1180. Now, before we get, we do have one more news item, and then it'll be time for story time with Uncle Dave. But first, let's talk a little bit about Vista. And Office 7, they're going to be here later this month. After years of waiting, U.S. business customers will finally get a chance to get their hands on Windows Vista and Office 2007 when Microsoft launches the products on November 30th. Now, I want you to note this is business customers only at this point. In addition to Vista and Office 2000, Microsoft Exchange Server 2007 will also be released. Actually, if you're in Canada, you'll get them a couple of days earlier. A lot of business customers have said they will not likely upgrade to Vista right away. They'll hold off until they do hardware upgrades, justify the cost of the new operating system, and specifically test all of their applications. For those of us who are not in a business environment, the general release of Vista and Office 2007 is still on track for January of 2007. Yes, just after the holiday buying season. And now,
be still my heart.
Exactly. And now, kiddies, sit back, relax, kick off your shoes, pick up your dollies, get in your jammies. It's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave?
Oh, I got to tell you, this week, how can I politely put it?
Yeah, and you got to be polite. You're actually on the air.
Yeah, I do. You know, when things are designed to work a certain way,
mm-hmm.
you would think folks would use them in that type of that manner, correct?
You would think so.
All right. You get an individual, they've got a laptop, and they've got a power cord.
Mm-hmm.
And the power cord becomes frayed where it goes into the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Very common.
Okay. All right. Now, if you're going to hook it up, there's three wires that go into it. It's usually standard with all plugs nowadays. They've got a black, a white, and a ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it comes with three wires, don't you think the manufacturer wants you to use all three wires?
I would think so, but that's just me.
Me too. I mean, you know, I mean, if it goes in the...
Well, they always give you extra ones, don't they?
Yeah.
don't think so. Well, this individual went ahead and went out and just got a normal two-prong plug. And, you know, the great weather that we've had here lately.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the great wind storms and everything else. Couldn't understand why the laptop blew up. Because the middle wire that is the ground never was hooked up into his plug.
Or a lot of times you buy those ground eliminator plugs so you can plug your three-prong device into a two-prong
outlet. Right, a three-fer into a twofer.
And blew up the machine.
Mm-hmm. There's a surprise.
And is ranting and raving.
It's your fault, though, too, right?
Somehow.
Because you sold him the laptop?
No, luckily, no. I was just the messenger. Yeah. And the individual that did this is in serious doo-doo. But, I mean, folks, you know, I see this not only on plugs, but in cases. Folks will sit there and try to pull and pry. I mean, I had a individual literally pull a VGA connector on a motherboard, off the motherboard, trying to remove the plug, the little connector that goes on up to the monitor.
Because they hadn't unscrewed it completely.
They didn't unscrew them at all. There's two little screws on the side that you got to tighten it down. Well, to get it off, you got to untighten them. And the individual pulled. And they must have had their feet up against the case because they literally ripped the whole connector off the motherboard. Well,
can you fix that for me, please?
Exactly. And then they wonder, well, this should be an easy fix, shouldn't it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it is.
Here's the clue, folks. Motherboard. If in the middle of doing something you think, this should be easier, it probably is.
And if you're not sure, take it to someone that does it. It's like me trying to do a root canal. I'm not going to try to do a root canal on somebody. I leave it up to the experts. Do what you do and stick to it. I mean, I'm not saying don't try to venture, but if it starts getting over your head, don't be afraid or ashamed to admit to it and try to do it correctly. And again, from, you know, working at an electronics, we were talking about this in the beginning of the show, you could get electrocuted.
So you're saying there actually is a market for the do-it-yourself at home brain surgery kit?
Coming out next year, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Like Microsoft Vista.
Exactly.
So, folks, if you're unsure, please, for your own safety, you know, and I mean, destroying your own machine, because I've had folks, like I say, those one with the video.
And the fix for that is to replace the logic board because the VGA connectors are soldered down and can't be resoldered.
So this was a machine, on this VGA one, literally was a machine that was only 5 days old.
Wow.
And they won't cover that under warranty.
Accidental abuse.
Yeah, this is, you know, I mean, they have to buy a whole new motherboard. So if you're uncertain.
$500 or $600 on a laptop.
Like I have been saying for years, and it's a tagline on any email, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. So if you're uncertain, please ask, because I don't want to see anybody getting hurt.
That's exactly right. All right, we're back to the phones. Poor Dave's been waiting for, an hour and a half now? Dave, you got any battery left on that cell phone?
Well, I was in south of Gorham when I called, and now I'm on the thruway at Manchester, so I'm doing pretty good.
Still with
What's
us?
What's your question?
Okay, guys, I run Firefox.
Yeah.
And I don't know why all of a sudden this started happening to me about a month ago. When I do a search And all the choices come up with the websites after I do the search. If I click on any of those choices, for some reason I'm not able to get to that website. I have to type the results in myself manually into the browser, then I can get to it. Is there a setting in Firefox that...
What happens when you click the link?
Well, where are you searching first?
I use MSN as my home page, and there's a little window on MSN that if you want to search for something, you just type it in there and search.
Right.
And it gives you the results, pages and pages and pages of results, and the results, of course, all have links to the web page. It's when I click on those links, I go nowhere. It just sits there. Never happened before. I'm not sure what I did to do that.
Huh. Try to right-click on the link and see if you get a menu up. One of those choices should be open link. It may be that, for some reason, the browser doesn't see that it is a link and thinks it's just raw text.
Well,
is MSN using that new feature now where you point to a link and it pops up a preview page window?
I'm looking at that right now.
And it may be that doesn't work with. Are you using the Firefox 2 or the older Firefox 1?
I think that in this machine I'm talking about, I've still got the 1.5 or 1.7 or whatever the heck it is.
Yeah, it was 1.5.0.7.
Yeah.
So try going up to 2.
Okay.
Yeah, and like they were saying, though, it might be you've got the pop-ups.
I've got pop-ups blocked, so I don't get any pop-ups.
That may be your problem right there.
Because you're using the MSN search engine, and that's trying to open up another screen within a pop-up.
Okay. All right. I'm going to start using a different search engine, probably is what I'll do on that. But now, about 4 weeks ago, I called you guys, and I talked to you about files. My computer was always busy in the background, and it was like churning files, and I've gone through everything, and finally I called Microsoft. They were of no help. So I started taking things off my computer, and when I took my McAfee off my computer, the problem went away.
Mm-hmm. McAfee was probably set to background scan everything.
I mean, sometimes when I went to shut down my computer, I'd go back 15 minutes later, and it was still in the process of shutting down.
Right. McAfee was trying to do a full scan in the background.
Why and how do I? I mean, I've got it scheduled to do one. Once every, I don't know, a couple days or something at night. Why does it try to do it? And I also noticed it only did it after, if I worked on the machine for an hour, it didn't do it unless I went to the Internet. If I went to the Internet, it started churning files.
Yeah, because it's
probably set to scan downloaded files. And when you go to the Internet, it's downloading cache files and downloading temp files.
And emails.
So that could have been it.
This is one of the reasons we've stopped. Is it McAfee 8?
It's the latest, greatest, and I hate it.
Yeah. We no longer recommend McAfee or Norton, at least in their current incarnations, because they just take over the machine and slow it down so much.
It's unbelievable.
I've used McAfee now for 5 years, and I hated Norton before that. What do I go to now?
AVG by Grisoff. It's off of our website, and it's, by the way, free.
Yeah, if you go to if you go to securitytango.com, right, and you'll see down on the left a series of buttons, one of which goes to Grisoft's AVG, that actually takes you to the free version of AVG. There is also a pay version. We always recommend that if people like the product, they pay for it so that the Grisoff people will keep making it, but there is a free version, and this leads you to it.
We got to look at the AVG anti-spyware program to see how well that works.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's actually on my list, and I just
right now
got time. But yeah, it's supposed to be also wonderful. AVG is what I use at home. It seems to work great. I haven't had any.
I'm
very pleased.
It was just recently, in fact, this week, I believe eWidow, which is another spyware program, was just taken over by AVG.
Yep. All right, so give those things a try, Dave, and thanks for holding on for about 2.5 hours. I appreciate that. Nice battery on a cell phone. You got to say that
In the car, he probably has a car adapter.
Yeah, he probably does. Our next caller is Ann from Greece, New York. Welcome, Ann. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen. You know, that was interesting because I had that exact same problem that the last caller had.
Yes.
Not being able to just click on the search results.
Yep.
And I tried, I'm on a Mac, and that led me to trying to upgrade my Safari, and I couldn't upgrade my Safari till I upgraded my OS to Tiger. So now it's running like a top. I took it into Steve, of course, and
sure,
it's running beautifully. So, and I'm able to, you know, get anywhere and do anything. So maybe he's on an old, you know, old version of his browser. And
yeah, maybe his Firefox is like, you know, 1.0
yeah,
and not a more recent version.
Right.
And that happens a lot, and we're actually seeing that a lot with older and older computers. I had three people this week with 10-year-old Macs wanting us to fix them.
Yeah.
Because the Internet Explorer 5, which was discontinued 4 years ago, won't open websites, including
right,
MSN's own website.
Yeah.
Right.
And the answer is yes, it won't, and you need something newer.
Yeah, well, it was well worth it. Boy, I'm loving this. But, Steve, on my new Safari that's been, you know, the new version of Safari, when you click on Safari and then the drop-down menu comes up, it says private browsing, which mm-hmm, do I have to have it there? I've got a 16-year-old in the house, and I don't want to have any private browsing.
Right. Private browsing is a feature in Safari. It's mostly intended for public computers or public kiosks.
Yeah.
When you turn on private browsing, it stops saving history and cache and settings.
And I
want
to be
settings.
Able to look at all the history of everybody, right, you know, where everybody's been on the computer. So
that's
can
smart.
I get rid of that? Is there any way
you
to
can't
get
remove the command, no. But what you can do is set up a limited account using the parental controls, which will limit what websites are available to go to. And that's common with the younger kids. How old was your son?
Well, he's 16.
Yeah, it's the teenager area. You know, it's every time someone wants to go to a new website, then the administrator has to allow that website. It's basically a whitelist. And
yeah.
I do that with my 8-year-old. You know, he's got Cartoon Network and Nick Jr., but you know, that's all he needs at the moment.
Uh-huh.
If he turns on the private browsing, then you won't be able to look through the history. And I don't know offhand of any way to disable that feature.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Disable the menu command. There used to be a way to edit programs and remove menu commands.
Yeah, but you can't do that now.
Yeah, I'll dig around a little bit and try looking on Apple's support website and see if they have anything there.
Okay. It just seems like there should be some way to do it. I don't want to, you know, he goes to, I'm in the room a lot when he's using the computer. It's in a family room, but.
Oh, here we go. My first hit on Google is how to disable private browsing.
There you go.
Oh,
so
cool.
I'll get that posted on our website.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much.
That was easy. Thank you.
It's not a very easy fix, but
at least there is
it's
one.
Possible, yeah.
All right, we're going to, nice. I like this. I like it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Glenn Simpson's tonight on Fox.
Rock and roll!
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you're listening to, at 43 minutes after the hour, to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Well, folks, the first $100 laptops are due this year. That's right. Remember the one laptop per child program? They wanted to create a laptop that was only $100.
Last week we had the $500 laptop.
Right, now we got the $100 laptop. The idea here is that nations buy them and distribute them to the poor in their countries. It looks like the first one of these is going to roll off production lines at the end of this year. Mass production will start in the first quarter of 2007, and a Taiwanese company called Quanta Computer is going to build them. They are, by the way, the largest contract notebook PC manufacturer in the world. They make notebooks for everybody from Dell to everybody, to HP to everybody, and they're going to be mass producing these things in the second quarter of next year. They expect to ship 5 to 10 million of them next year to Argentina, Brazil, Libya, Nigeria, and Thailand, who have already confirmed. The basic idea behind this initiative, the one laptop per child, is to ensure that school children in developing countries keep up with their peers in modern nations by putting a laptop PC able to wirelessly access the internet into their hands. These $100 machines will run the Linux operating system on a 500 megahertz processor from AMD. They'll be wireless broadband ready, 128 meg of RAM, 500 megabytes of flash memory for storage. Pretty interesting machine for only $100. The only thing they're really missing is a big hard drive, but the idea is they're always connected to each other on the internet and they can keep track of each other that way. So it's a pretty nifty thing. I would love to get my hands on one. They look neat. Our next caller is Tom from Naples, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Great show, guys.
Thanks.
I use Roadrunner, and lately as I connect on, I get the, you know, the 192 da-da-da-da-da
right
IP address. In 2 or 3 seconds, it'll completely clear, and then I get kicked to another IP address, but it's 74.67.152.21.
That's fairly normal with most of the modern routers. The 192 is your private network of your computer and any other computers you have.
If you're running like a Linksys.
Well, sometimes even the Roadrunner and Frontier's own DSL mm-hmm. routers have this mode in it. So that's mm-hmm. your private network, and then the 74 number is the public internet network. So it's you're usually not supposed to see that, but the computers are so fast now that you can.
Okay.
So it's showing you the private network before it connects to the Roadrunner public network.
Because right. I noticed it was doing it with my desktop and my laptop.
Yeah, and it does. It's exactly what it's supposed to be doing. Just normally you don't see that. Why are you even seeing that? What are you running that shows you that?
Well, I'm looking on network connections.
Right.
Right, so it's showing him the DHCP.
Right.
So your computer is connecting to the private network of the router, and then the router is connecting to the public network of the internet, which then your computer is connected to.
Yeah, I'm just using the modem that came with the cable.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And that actually is a router, not just a modem.
Oh, well, okay.
And that's why Steve is using the term router. But the point is that it's working exactly as it's supposed to.
Is that router any kind of a firewall at all?
No.
Not the one that you get from them, no.
Well, and that's showing you that because you have a public IP address. You want to get a network router, which is another box, and both Dave and I like the Linksys brand, that does give you a private firewall and private network to block you from the internet so that people outside can't get to your computers as easy.
Actually, I had one, and I when I bought my new laptop, I had it set up with a wireless.
Yeah, that's also common.
And the first time I went to log off after it was on for a couple of days, it said, if I logged off now, two other people or several other people will lose their connection to my computer. And that was the end of my wireless connection.
Well, that's probably because you didn't have a password on your wireless network. So your neighbors or someone sitting in the driveway can log into it as well.
I had a professional set it up. And I know he used a password, but I don't know how.
Well, that's also a confusing point because there's several passwords. There's the administrator password to change the settings on the router, and that's on by default.
Okay.
And then there's the wireless password to actually connect to the network, and that's off by default. You have to go in and turn it on.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is, you know.
Yeah.
See, and that goes back, you know, a few years ago when wireless started getting common.
Yeah.
All that stuff was turned off to make it very easy for novice users to use wireless.
Yep.
And then all the bad guys said, well, open wireless networks, I can get into it too.
They can go surfing around.
This happened to me the other day. I had my laptop on the porch. Normally, I get a nice, fast, clean connection through my Frontier DSL connection. I was sitting on the porch, and I was getting a pretty lousy connection, actually. When I went and looked at what was going on my system, I realized I was actually connected. I was getting from my porch a slightly stronger signal from somebody across the street, down the street, wherever it was, connected not through DSL. And consequently, I was getting a lousy connection to the internet, so it was slower. But I wasn't even connected to my network. Somebody's got an open network in my neighborhood, and I was actually getting their connection.
Thanks for your great opinion, guys.
There you go. Our next caller is John from Rochester, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hey, how are you? Here's my question. I have an HP with a 2.4 gig processor. I have the max RAM I can, which is about a gig.
Mm-hmm.
And I just added that about a week ago, and it's still running pretty slowly. Especially on startup, it seems to take about 2 minutes until everything fully loads.
That's pretty normal with Windows.
Is it? Okay. And then also, if I just like open up a Word document, it takes an awfully long time to and until Word finally loads up and I can get to it.
All right, two questions for you. One, what antivirus software are you using?
AVG.
Okay. And what's your connection service?
DSL.
Okay.
Hardwired.
While Word is launching or programs are acting slow, is there any disk activity going on your computer? Or is it just sitting there doing nothing while you're waiting for it to open?
Well, maybe I should be more specific. Let's say it takes maybe 15 seconds for Word to open.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not expecting it to be that slow, but it just, if I remove some programs from the start menu, would that help me?
No, it won't. Listen, hang on the line. We got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll give you a little more advice about this, okay? Stay on the line. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, John from Rochester, New York, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 50 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Get the story.
Buddy, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. We've got John on the line. John, I got to tell you, 15 seconds to open Word is not a terribly long time.
And are you running SpyBot and Nataware?
Oh, yeah. Run them all the time, constantly cleaning them out.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of the programs will take longer to launch the first time, and then the second time you launch them, they're faster because they leave things loaded into memory to make them launch faster the next time.
Is it unrealistic of me to compare it to when I first took it out of the box and things just kind of flew like it was lightning fast?
Well, you probably got other things now since you've been using the machine loaded onto the startup toolbar.
Look in the system tray in the bottom right corner and look through that stuff and see what you don't need.
Now, another one.
Also, when you got that RAM, did you put it in yourself?
Yeah.
Are you sure that the two RAM chips are identical?
Or do they have to be? Sometimes they don't have to be.
Well, the point is, if one runs slower than the other one will now slow down to match it, right? So you may have actually slowed your machine down by adding RAM.
Well, I ran a Bell Arc Advisor, and it recognizes that I have the RAM in it.
Okay. The other thing is now, like, are you using Kodak EasyShare?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact.
Okay, taking that out.
That sits in the background waiting for you to plug a camera in, and so it
can
launch.
The newer versions have a little more overhead to them, so try shutting some of these things down in the toolbar that you don't use all the time.
HP printers. Wait for the printer to say, I'm out of ink or out of paper. So there's a lot of programs running in the background doing things and waiting for something that will slow down your foreground programs
a little bit. I have an HP printer on it, too.
Yeah, so look in your system tray and turn off things that you don't necessarily need all the time.
Yeah.
How easy is it for me to just, do I go into the startup menu? How about I just remove items?
The best way to get rid of them from starting up is if you go to start, go to run, type msconfig. On the msconfig menu, you will see a startup tab. In there lists all the things that are loaded at startup. And you can uncheck those and see if they have any effect. If they do, then leave them off. If not, then you can turn around and, turn them back on.
All right. Our next caller is Dale on a cell phone. Welcome, Dale. What's your question?
Oh, thank goodness I got to you.
Yeah, me too.
You make me a god with all your good information. I got an iMac 20-inch. And I'm running extended desktop with it. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to turn that iMac monitor on its side and have software that rotates the screen for me.
It's built into the OS in the display control panel.
It is.
If your video card is capable of rotating, which I'm pretty sure the new iMacs are.
Yeah, this is an iMac dual core. So.
Right. Yeah, there'll be a rotation command in the display system preference to what direction you want it rotated as.
Aren't those Macs cool?
Yeah.
Well, I got one Mac and three Windows machines at home, and man, I spend my time at the Mac. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
All right, we've got just 2 minutes left for Roger. Roger, what's your question?
My question is, I have a toolbar. When I go from my desktop and I click on Firefox.
Yep.
This toolbar thing, I call it a toolbar anyway, where it says file, bookmarks, that sort of thing.
Sure.
It does not work. I can't get rid of it.
And it says file, edit, view, bookmarks?
Yeah, yeah, and all those things that go
with
it.
That's the main menu bar.
Well, the main menu bar comes up then.
But it's not working.
It's not working. No, and it came on by itself.
Then it's not the main menu bar. The main menu bar is built into the program and is always there, and you can't turn it on or off.
Do you have one? Do you have two of these that say file, edit, view?
No, just the one.
And it stopped working.
Yeah, well, it used to be that I just would click on Firefox and it would come right up. But
try uninstalling it and download the newer version of 2.0.
Yeah, that's the way you fix it. Download the newest version, install that, and you should be fine.
Let me do a quick plug for Astronomicon next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Women in Science Fiction, Catherine Asaro, Julie Bell, B.J. Trimble, and many others at astronomicon.info.
Perfect. We're going to be done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Call in earlier next week. I tell folks that all the time. Post in the forums at soundbites.org. Be sure to vote. And check out my website at AskNick.com. We're done for another week. That's AskNick.com. Oh, you are good. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco at 59 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online at